Almighty God and Father, we come before you this morning to worship you. We thank you that you have made us your people exactly for that purpose, to know you, to love you, to enjoy that fellowship with you, that we may have life and have it to the full. Or so it was from the very beginning, even already in the garden with Adam and Eve. And yet, Father, we also confess before you this morning how that fellowship is broken. As we look to Scripture, we see the rebellion of our ancestors, Adam and Eve, and the fall that it caused. So that we too may look at our own lives this morning and know so many of the good things that you've created and given us. And yet also in that good, see how far we have fallen. We may recognize you as the source of all life and every good thing. And yet also know how our hearts at every turn rebel against serving you and recognizing you as our Lord. So it is this morning again that we confess that it is you alone who have sought us out. That wonderful gospel message that was there right from the beginning. Where Adam and Eve hid from your face, there you were seeking them, calling them. And how you've done that ever since to a fallen humanity, yes, to us. Especially through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost by becoming a slave himself. Be able to break the bonds of sin, to pay for all of our guilt, die on the cross. So this morning we ask you once again to restore us to your fellowship, forgive all the sins that we've committed, remove all the guilt that is upon us. Would you set us free from the bonds of sin that we may serve you instead? Help us to fight temptation wherever we face it. Would you help us to fight against pride, that we would ever rely on you, and that you would do this day by day, week by week, again and again, so that in the end we may be holy and blameless in your sight through your Son, Jesus Christ. And may to that end also contribute our worship this morning as we seek your face, as we celebrate your supper, as we listen to your word. May all things lead us once again closer to you into that fellowship with you as a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. We ask you all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. So having also confessed our sins before the Lord, and knowing his grace, we have the following assurance, as we also read in the form of the celebration of Lord's Supper. But all this, beloved brothers and sisters, is not meant to discourage broken and contrite hearts, as if only those who are without sin may come to the table of the Lord. For we do not come to this supper to declare that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves. On the contrary, we seek our life outside of ourselves in Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we acknowledge that we are dead in ourselves. We also are aware of our many sins and shortcomings. We do not have perfect faith, and we do not serve God with such zeal as he requires. Daily we have to contend with the weakness of our faith and with the evil desires of our flesh. Yet, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are heartily sorry for these shortcomings and desire to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God. Therefore, we may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly food and drink. And so this morning, we'll also expound on that as we turn to our reading and our text. Our reading first, which will come from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3. Some Sundays, as we celebrate Lord's Supper, it doesn't quite fit with where we are, maybe in the catechism or in the series that we've begun. This morning, I basically had two texts that I could choose from. Both fit very well with the celebration of the Lord's Supper. I picked this morning that we would turn to Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23. And in connection with that, we'll first read from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. We read the following word of God. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. And let's also turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23. One of the key Lord's Days within the Heidelberg Catechism, having to do with our justification, as the heading says, how we are in that restored to that right relationship with God. So Lord's Day 23, we'll first ask, but what does it help you now that you believe all this? In Christ I am righteous before God and heir to life everlasting. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all God's commandments, I've never kept any of them, and am still inclined to all evil, yet God, without any merit of my own, out of mere grace, imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. He grants these to me, as if I had never had nor committed any sin, and as if I myself had accomplished all the obedience with which Christ has rendered for me, if only I accept this gift with a believing heart. Why do you say that you are righteous only by faith? Not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, for only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God. I can receive this righteousness and make it my own by faith only. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, years ago I remember listening to a minister leave preaching on some preparation for the Lord's Supper, and he talked about going to the Lord's Supper with a backpack, I believe. A lot of the details are vague. I don't even know what perhaps the point was of speaking of a backpack, but somehow that imagery of attending Lord's Supper with a backpack stuck. The basic idea that you come to the Lord's Supper with something that you bring with you. something you've put in your backpack. There's a very good chance, because we all announced the Lord's Supper the week before, that many of you have prepared already, maybe this week or this morning, in some way for Lord's Supper. And that makes this image even more applicable. What did you put in your backpack? How did you prepare? What did you bring? As the catechism students learned this week, the sacraments, including Lord's Supper, show us something about the essence of the gospel. So this morning, kind of think about that question. What do we bring to the Lord's Supper? What do we put in our backpack that captures the essence of the gospel? And at the same time, then, how do we participate in the Lord's Supper that shows us and teaches us something about the essence of the gospel? It'll be that question of gospel essence that is our focus this morning. Maybe you think, what do we put in our backpack? Well, maybe you're thinking, it's maybe not so much a backpack as a garbage bag that you bring. I think there may be some truth to that. Actually, let's start, first of all, by how that may be true based on that passage that we read from Philippians chapter 3. It's very interesting that this is kind of the language that Paul uses to describe our own righteousness. Garbage. A loss. If you go through those verses that he wrote there in Philippians 3, you'll note that he's not talking about his sin that he considers a loss. It's not all the things that he's done wrong that he's like, oh, those are worthless. No, it's actually his own righteousness. He has all of this list of all of these previous accomplishments that meant something to him once. Oh, here he was a Jew. He had been circumcised at just the right time. He had been of the tribe of Benjamin. He had been trained. He was a disciple. He was, in regards to the law, he's like, I was faultless. I did all that I could. It's this impressive list that we may say Paul put in his backpack. The kind of accomplishments and pedigree that would make many people look up at him. In many people's minds and in his own, he was someone worthy of God's grace, someone worthy of God's gospel. Yet this is what Paul has to say about it. Now that he knows Christ, it's garbage. Considers it a loss. At one point had been gain, he could accredit to it his account, but now he's like, it just doesn't add up. It's now a loss to me. And it's almost as if he goes through these verses, he makes his point more and more. It's like he considers it less and less as he goes through these verses, as from lost to all of it a loss, to in some ways, yes, even complete crap. This is what other translations may even have for that word, as he calls it. Something like dung, rubbish. At one time it was worth something, but now it is a complete loss because of just the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. So let's use that as our starting point this morning. What do we put in our backpack? What did you put in there? Do you try to make it on your own righteousness? Are you worthy of the table because you had a good week? You were focused. You knew Lord's Supper was coming up. You knew your conscience would accuse you. You had a good week, so here you are. That's what's in your backpack. Came this morning, approaching the table with this idea, the thought that you had attended all the previous Sundays. So obviously you'll be worthy of the table. Maybe it's the preparation that you put in this week or this morning. And it always makes you feel good about approaching the Lord's Supper table. Other people may not take it as serious as you do. But you do. Prepare. Dress up. Take this serious. Put all of that in your backpack. So you be well prepared in coming to the Lord's table. All of these different ways, we may be tempted in some ways, yes, stuff our backpack with something that may be a sign of our own righteousness, our own pedigree, standing before the Lord. And what does the gospel essence have to say about that? That is rubbish. It's garbage, a loss compared to the knowing, incomparable riches of knowing Jesus Christ. Not even because it's all wrong. Paul afterwards is not going to say, oh, well, I just hate being a Jew. No, there's no fault with it. It just means that it doesn't improve any of our standing with God. But all of these things just fade in comparison with the riches of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And all that we put in our backpack turns to garbage at the value of knowing Him. Having a righteousness not of our own. We're left with nothing to bring. That which is just a loss. If this is what we've put in our backpack. This is likely where many of you may also have no problem. You know the gospel well. When I said maybe, you know, instead of packing a backpack full of righteousness, it's more of garbage, you said, yes, that is definitely how I prepare for the Lord's table. So you know God's grace well enough. So you didn't pack all the other things that I've mentioned or any other kind of righteousness. You immediately think of it as packing it with garbage. So you've considered your sin. Considered your accursedness, you've humbled yourself, you've filled a garbage bag, and now you're ready to participate. But somehow, coming to the Lord's table means cleaning up. And you become worthy of coming to the table because you've cleaned up by confession and contrition. You fully acknowledge, like, I'm never going to be able to come to the table based on my own righteousness. Maybe then I'll just drag up this garbage bag to the front, grab the elements, return to my seat, sit there among my garbage, stewing for a time on what mess you are. But somehow that is the essence of the gospel. That somehow that is the way in which we are worthy of participating. Because God wants us to punish ourselves, right? So if you sit somberly and contritely in your filth for long enough, then He'll just deem you worthy and remove that from you. That is just part of paying your dues before the garbage gets picked up. And yet I hope you realize that despite you saying you put your, oh, you filled your backpack just with garbage, you are still coming before the Lord. In your own righteousness. Just not now a matter of thinking that you are worthy on account of anything you've accomplished. It's just that you think you come because you're worthy, because you clean up so well. As long as you're able to see, look at all the garbage that I found. If I sit in it long enough, perhaps that will make me worthy of the table. Yet that also is not the essence of the gospel. It's again not what God's grace teaches us. So I'll ask again, what do you put in your backpack? What can you put in there? Maybe you start getting worried because there's like awfully left maybe that is that you could possibly bring. What is left? There's just one thing. Faith in Jesus Christ. And that is how Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23, summarized the essence of the gospel, justification by faith alone. Those words of Paul that we read in Philippians chapter 3, that we have a righteousness, a right standing with God, not because of anything that we have done, but by faith alone in our Savior Jesus Christ. It's as the Catechism so wonderfully explains, like even our sin and our guilt and the accusations, all of them covered and done away with just by faith in Jesus Christ. God has imputed to us, credited to our account by His grace, the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. And that the only way to make them our own is by faith in Him. That all of it is yours, truly, fully, incredibly, just by faith in Him. That's why Paul says everything else becomes so worthless. Because you can have it all by faith in Him. And we likely also realize how that may just be that little bit discomforting. You look in your backpack and there it is, it's just faith. Can we add something? So what does your faith amount to? Do you really believe God's promises as you should? You really feel that your faith is as strong and as active as you want it to be. And now we're saying that that is just the one thing that makes us right with God. The one thing that makes us worthy. If you feel that discomfort, you understand the words of the next question and answer in the Heidelberg Catechism. Why do you say that you are righteous only by faith? Well, it's not that I am acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith. My faith, its quality, its strength, its weakness, it's not that saves us. But its object, the one thing it holds on to, a Savior who does all the saving. That is why we may say that it is faith that you bring in your backpack, that we ought to bring in our backpack. And if your faith is weak, this is exactly the table that is meant for you. I'll give you some of Calvin's words, which he wrote as he considered who is worthy of the Lord's Supper table. He does it so well. I quote, "Therefore, this is the worthiness, the best and only kind we can bring to God, to offer of our vileness and, so to speak, our unworthiness to Him, so that His mercy may make us worthy of Him, to despair in ourselves, so that we may be comforted in Him, to accuse ourselves, so that we may be justified by Him. We shall think that the worthiness which is commanded by God consists chiefly in faith, which rests for everything in Christ, but nothing in ourselves." What the essence of the gospel, what Jesus Christ Himself teaches us, is to hold on only to faith. Leave our backpack, leave our garbage bags at the front, so that with empty hands you may hold on to that bread and the wine, those elements that are Christ for us. We may return to our seats with the visible signs of the incomparable riches of knowing Jesus Christ. To have there in our hands that sign and seal that we are righteous only by faith in Him. A righteousness not of our own, but a perfect righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. What the Heidelberg Catechism says in question and answer, and poets and hymn writers have always been inspired by. And so consider this morning how a hymn like the Rock of Ages puts it. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Yes, hungry, come to him for bread. Thirsty, come to him for wine. The essence of the gospel in song, the essence of the gospel in this meal, in the sacrament this morning. As you take that to heart and come in faith, and also see that this is the meal of Christ's love for us, and let your faith and also bear fruit in love for him and one another, as Christ himself has loved. As Calvin says, chiefly come in faith, he then secondly in love. And that very love which, though imperfect, is enough to offer to God, that he may increase it to something better inasmuch as it cannot be offered in completeness. Come. With faith, come in love. Not perfect love, not love to add to grace, not love that is seeking to earn anything, but the imperfect, free, and love full of thanksgiving of a sinner righteous, forgiven, cleansed, and counted right with God by grace through faith alone. That is the essence of God's wonderful gospel in Jesus Christ for us. Amen. Let's then also stand and sing in preparation hymn 59, stanzas 1 and 2.